If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fall to the St. Louis Blues 5-3 in the Blackhawks Hall of Fame game. Unfortunate result as we bring in Steve Conroy now to kind of recap the entire weekend, Steve, because the Hall of Fame weekend started yesterday at the Blackhawks' new ice center. The renovations are fully in swing, and you and I both had the privilege to be there. And I thought it was a great evening yesterday. I wish the Hawks would have won today to kind of make the weekend kind of perfect, but unfortunately the Hawks couldn't get 2 points in this game tonight.
Yeah, they couldn't. It was a great weekend, though, and for everyone involved, especially the inductees into the Chicago Blackhawks Hall of Fame, everyone who attended the Blackhawks, as I mentioned to John, just do a great job with those ceremonies, and it was really special. Wasn't sure what to expect. It was my first time over at the new part of Fifth Third Arena and the Chicago Blackhawks Hall of Fame, but it's spectacular. It's really neat. It brought back a lot of memories for me. Brought back a lot of memories just being around Steve Larmer. Of course, I see Chris Chelios a lot, but a couple of teammates of mine who are in that Hall of Fame. Denny Savard, I forgot to mention Denny, captain of this team when I got traded to the Blackhawks. A real fun evening and a real fun weekend. Fortunately, the Blackhawks came up a little shy, but you know what? They're going to get a pretty good draft pick out of all this when all is said and done at the end of the season.
Yeah, and they potentially could get a real another impactful type player, honestly, as soon as next season, depending on who they take. Just your thoughts on the game itself. The Hawks end up, I thought the first like 6 or 7 minutes, the Blackhawks were easily the better team, where I think the shots on goal were 7-1 in favor of the Blackhawks right out of the gate. And I think, yeah, the shots on goal were 13-9 in the first period in favor of St. Louis, which means St. Louis had 13 of the next 15 shots in that first period. So great kind of first half of that first period by the Blackhawks. And then St. Louis ended up scoring the first goal. That kind of, maybe it was a frustrating goal for the Blackhawks to allow, given the fact that they started on time.
Yeah, well, you know, they had the benefit of a power play early in the game. But that being said, they were still shooting, and that's what I'd like to see. They came out with a shooter's mentality, and I think that's what you have to have in today's NHL. Get shots towards the net, get bodies towards the net, and they were doing that. And I give credit to Joel Hofer early in this hockey game. He made a number of, you know, pretty good saves. And then it was Snuggerud who scored the first goal. You know, unfortunately got position on Kevin Korchinski and ends up putting the goal. But then it was the Blackhawks who scored the next two, right? Ryan Green with a real good shot. Ilya Mikheyev, partial breakaway, makes it 2-1. The goal that hurt was Toropchenko, though, and it was a breakaway goal. Blackhawks were trying to force a pass, and it was Sam Lafferty, who I think has done such a great job this year, you know, playing when he has. He's been in and out of the lineup, forced to play defense tonight because of a sickness, we're assuming, to Ethan Del Mastro. And then, so he's in the lineup, maybe made a pass he shouldn't have, turns into a breakaway the other way, and that seemed to really swing the momentum in favor of the St. Louis Blues. Kyrou gets a power play goal after that, and then, you know, a defenseman jumps up on the play, Fowler, and he scores a goal. So, you know, all in all, I think you look back, and it's, again, the Blackhawks maybe shooting themselves in the foot with, you know, some mistakes that end up in the back of their net, but an opportunity to learn from it, an opportunity to grow.
You mentioned Sam Lafferty playing defense in this game. On paper, it sounds very silly, like what in the world is happening, like emergency-type circumstances for the Blackhawks, but Sam Lafferty, because he had been in and out of the lineup for the Blackhawks, mostly out of the lineup for the Blackhawks towards like the meat of the season, I mean, there were weeks at a time where he didn't get in the lineup. Well, usually as the extra, and obviously you know this, but usually if you're the extra forward or two, sometimes you get reps on the D if you have 7D and you need one guy to kind of fill in as the eighth defenseman. That was Sam Lafferty, essentially, during practices. And I remember we asked Jeff Blashill about this. It was either last month or a month and a half ago, about Sam Lafferty playing D, and he said, actually, when I coached Team USA at the Worlds, I had Sam Lafferty, and he actually played defense for me. I don't know if it was a game, if it was two games. I don't know what the circumstances were, but this wasn't the first time that Jeff Blashill put Sam Lafferty on defense. And Jeff said he kind of like forecasted it at the time, like if I ever needed to play Sam Lafferty at defense in an emergency type situation, I would have no problem doing so. And this was that situation where Del Mastro was a late scratch. Injury, illness, whatever. We'll get final word from Jeff Blashill after. But I thought it was decent. He was just on the ice for both of the goals against. The first one, I didn't really think he had much to do with. It was the second one that was obviously his guy, or his turnover.
Yeah. Well, you know what? First of all, Sam Lafferty's a great guy, and he's a great teammate. And you talk to every Chicago Blackhawk, and they sympathize with him not being in the lineup, you know, on a regular basis. But he's out there working hard. He's in unbelievable shape. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can play center. He can play wing. We know he can play defense. And it's funny, we had him on at the end of the first period, and talking to him, he said, I know all the systems. I really don't need a lot of coaching. I know what to do. And as you mentioned, he's been back there, you know, when the Blackhawks had seven defensemen. You know, when you scrimmage, you've got two full lines, right? But you've only got seven defensemen. Putting him back there, now you can literally have a scrimmage for 30 minutes where two lines against two lines with four defensemen on each side. So he didn't look out of place, and he made the one mistake trying to force a pass. Listen, he was trying to make things happen, and I'm not going to fault a guy for trying to make things happen, but he did it. It ended up in the back of the net, which was unfortunate. But all in all, you don't see that very often. I know that in the past, Mitch Marner has played defense a little bit, strictly a forward in the NHL, but he had played some defense as a youth hockey player growing up in the Toronto area. And Sam Lafferty, I'm sure at some point growing up just outside of Pittsburgh, probably played a little bit of defense also.
Well, he is an excellent skater, though, too, and that's partly why he's probably he can make that transition from forward to defense so seamless, because even if he could skate backwards pretty well, but if he needs to kind of turn it up and catch some, like he's the guy that I would want hunting down a forward that might get behind him. So, so that was a unique situation where the Blackhawks essentially were playing with five defensemen and one forward on defense. We have seen in the past the Blackhawks do that. We know Dustin Byfuglien went from defense to forward. We've seen, I think it was Rob Scuderi went from defense to forward. He played like left wing, but I can't remember the last time we saw a forward play defense. I think that's a testament to Lafferty's skill set, because that's much harder than going the other way.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, it's funny, John mentioned Lindy Ruff, who I played against when he was with the Buffalo Sabres. Scotty Bowman moved him from defense to forward, and he became a really good forward, and that's normally the transition, and it's probably an easier transition, too. Just one more thing on Sam Lafferty. He might have scored the goal of the year this year against the New Jersey Devils. It was early this year. It was that night that Jack Hughes got injured away from the rink, and that kind of really kind of deep-sixed the chances of the New Jersey Devils. But it was literally, it wasn't quite an end-to-end rush, but it was an unbelievable rush up the ice, and he beat a defenseman. Just a beautiful goal.
Hawks dealt with a couple injuries in this game. We talked about Ethan Del Mastro. He wasn't available for this game. Andrew Mangiapane also left this game in the third period. Well, looked like he was favoring his left leg. He did not return. We'll get an update on him when Jeff Blashill speaks here in a little bit. But also Frank Nazar gets hit in the face with a puck and immediately throws down his right glove in frustration and dropped the left glove, too, as he was skating off. That tells me he potentially feels like it was a similar type feel as the last time when he got hit in the puck in Ottawa when he fractured his jaw. Gosh, I hope it's not the same injury, and it's maybe he just lost some teeth or whatever. Yeah. But his reaction was not good, and so we'll get an update from Jeff Blashill as well on his status. But gosh, you hate to see that, especially with three games left in the season.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because I saw it live and I thought it was a stick. Did you see a replay of it? Was it a puck?
I'm actually right behind you. Oh, it was the replay.
Okay.
But well, that's the Ottawa game that we're looking at. But yeah, I saw the replay, and it was
the
puck.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the puck.
Yeah. I almost wish it was a stick instead of a puck. You know, puck can come a lot faster and do a lot more damage, believe it or not, than a stick can. I mean, they're both bad, and you can break your jaw certainly with a stick, but let's hope he's okay. I didn't like the reaction, because it looked like he was mad/frustrated, And that, to me, would think that maybe he felt something wasn't quite right in his jaw. So we're hoping the best because, you know, he's really, since coming back from that injury, and I think it took him a little time to recover from that injury, even when he was playing in games, he's turned his game around, and he's been a factor, a positive factor for the Blackhawks.
Well, we have the best on-site reporter in Jack Heinrich, who is down there in the Jeff Blashill media availability right now, and he just texted me that Blash says he thinks Nazar is all right. So that's great news.
That is great news.
That's fantastic news. And also, we'll get updates on the other guys later when we hear. But that's got to be good news that Frank Nazar is seemingly going to be okay. We talked about also after the second period when the St. Louis Blues were up 4-2. We did around the NHL update and the LA Kings defeated was it Winnipeg? 1-0. Oh no, Edmonton Oilers 1-0, which officially eliminated the St. Louis Blues from playoff contention. I don't know if you're a player, you see the scoreboards up here. They probably knew coming onto the ice in the third period that game was over and their playoff chances were over. But they sure didn't play like it in the third period.
Well, you know, the pressure's off in a little way. You know, it's like there's nothing you can do, guys. You can win out and you're still not going to make the playoffs. So sometimes you're going to play a little freer and easier. Hey, listen, kudos to LA too, because they possibly could. Can you imagine if they play Edmonton again in the playoffs? If they do meet up with the Edmonton Oilers, that would be the fourth or fifth straight year they do that. Edmonton's won the previous, I know, two, maybe three, against the LA Kings. And Connor McDavid's coming off a 5-point night. Obviously, he was held pointless because they won 1-0 and they shut out the Edmonton Oilers. So, yeah, good for LA.
Last one for you. That was a pretty fun 6-on-5 extra attacker opportunity with the Blackhawks, where they pulled the goalie with like two, I think it was like 2:45 around that area because the Hawks were down by two goals. They have a little bit of a surge, and then they call a timeout. I think it was with 1:24 left. And in the final 1:24, Blackhawks recorded 10 shot attempts in that 84 seconds. Five of them hit the net. Three of them missed the net. Two of them were blocked. So that was a flurry. And you mentioned, too, Connor Bedard had the puck on a string on a few of those opportunities, and he was helping create a lot of those chances. But that was fun and fitting that Duncan Keith was in town and Marian Hosso, they were here in the building, because if you remember during the glory days, when the Hawks were down a goal and they had the extra net, they had the empty net pulled, it was almost like they're going to find a way to score.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
yes.
That's what it felt like. Every time they had an extra attacker, it was like, this game is getting tied up somehow.
And I had that feeling with that 6-on-5, because you're right. Connor did have it on a string. He just couldn't lose the puck. He was shaking checks. He was zigging. He was zagging. He was finding the open man. Anton Frondell, I know, had a couple of really good looks. I was also impressed down when they were stuck in their own zone when they had the goalie pulled. A couple different guys playing goaltender back there. I know Nick Lardis made a really big stop right in front of his own net. You know, the game would have been over. Obviously, it would have been 6-3 if they score there. So they dodged a bullet. They made some big stops. And then offensively, 10 shot attempts in 80 seconds. Maybe, you know, they ended up with 15 shots in the third period. So I like that thought process. Let's get, you know, volume towards the net. Let's get shots towards the net. And Joel Hofer played a real good game for St. Louis between the pipes.
Well, you played a real good game for us on the broadcast, as you always do, Steve. So let's do it again on Monday.
I never feel good when we lose. But, yeah, who's leading in the Masters, by the way?
I believe it's a tie between Rory and Cam Young.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're co-leaders.
Mm.
John's giving me the Frozen Four update over here. What's happening? In Wisconsin? Wisconsin 2-1?
2-1 Denver.
2-1 Denver on the power play. I imagine Tony Granato is very plugged into this.
150
left in the third. We're getting a live update here. This is John Weidman sticking around for the whole post-game show to give us these updates. Well, we have to, man. John wears a lot of hats. He's the play-by-play guy. He's our semi-on-site reporter with Jack Heinrich with the around the right, John?
Chief cook and bottle washer.
No, that's not true. Oh man! All right, Blackhawks fall to the St. Louis Blues 5-3 on the Hall of Fame game here at the United Center. Only two home games left in the regular season before we're going to call it a season. We do have sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room, so we'll hear what a couple of the guys had to say.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Ryan Green's 10th goal of the season and his first since March 17th. So almost a month ago, he snapped a 12-game goal drought, and he got promoted back to the first line in this game with Connor Bedard and Nick Lardis. And so he kind of picks up where he left off, that chemistry with Connor Bedard. Let's hear what Ryan Green had to say after this game.
Things got a little rough in the second period. What happened? What was going on? What wasn't going on for you guys?
Yeah, I think for a stretch there, we just got away from our game a little bit. I don't think we were playing as fast as we were in the first, transition-wise, and I think that hurt us a little bit.
Flash also said yesterday he feels like some guys are kind of hitting the wall here in game 80. Do you sense that at all?
I mean, it's obviously late in the year, and it gets tiring at this point for sure, but that's no excuse, and obviously, we're trying to finish strong here. We still have two games left, and want to make a good case for the fans here in the last couple.
How tough is he, Nazar, take another one in the face?
Yeah, I mean, Frankie, he's had tough luck with getting hit in the face there. I actually haven't seen him since it happened, so hoping everything's all right, but that was tough to see.
Ryan, you guys are going to be really young next year. How are you going to go? What are the keys to going through a whole season and not getting this way to work? That's really demoralizing at the end.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not the season we wanted. And like you said, it's a young group in here, and we're going to go through the ups and downs together. And I think all of us being here, for the second half of the season especially, and kind of going through this together, I think, it's only going to make us stronger heading into next year and getting a taste for, what we need to do to come out on top of these games.
How do you feel about your game as the season comes to a close?
I feel pretty good. I mean, wouldn't say I've played spectacular by any means, but, I'm just trying to, play a responsible game and play hard and win pucks and just do what I can to contribute to the team.
You've worked on your finishing to get to 10 goals. Does that have some meaning for you?
Not really. I mean, still a lot of missed chances, and doesn't sit well. Obviously, you want to put more pucks in the net, but I guess it was good to see one go in today, but didn't, make much of a difference with the final score.
You played center and wing this year. Do you have a preference?
Not really. I mean, I feel comfortable at both. I've kind of bounced back and forth, so wherever coach wants to play me, I need to prepare and get myself ready to do the best I can in that position.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Green. He really can play center or wing just because of how smart of a hockey player he is. He can think the game at such a high level that he can really play anywhere in the lineup, but feels like he's been really good playing on a line with Connor Bedard. We talked about Sam Lafferty's transition from forward to defense in this game. He spoke with us actually in the first intermission talking about it, but he also spoke to the media after the game. Let's hear what he had to say.
In the night, and how do you feel like it went for you?
I found out this morning. I just got a text telling me Coach Allen was playing D tonight, and thought it was a bit of a roller coaster, up and down. But it means a lot to trust me enough to put me in that position, and some good things, some mistakes, but overall, pretty cool experience.
You played defense for Blashill before in the World Championship.
Yeah, that's right. Similar situation, down to four healthy defensemen, and filled in at Worlds 4 years ago for him, and so I have some experience, but definitely a lot different back there.
How do you prepare for it?
Just talk to some of the guys, some of the defensemen, different things on the breakout, and some of the things that are specific to the D, but besides that, kind of prepare the same way and just try to play hockey at the end of the day.
Doesn't feel good to kind of get the chance like you did tonight after the season you had.
Like I said, means a lot that the coaches trust me enough to put me in that position. They had said emergency situation, they put me in a D, and that's what we had tonight. So like I said, the trust means a lot, and obviously would love to get the win tonight, but really cool experience to be able to do it with these guys.
What was happening in that second period, or not happening for you guys?
Yeah, I thought maybe just got away from our forecheck and, simplify shooting pucks. Just some of the things that make us successful, grinding them in the old zone and shooting pucks. Thought we got away from that, but, credit to the guys, they battled all the way to the end.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, that was, I was going to say Blackhawks forward Sam Lafferty, but it was actually Blackhawks defenseman Sam Lafferty in this game. By the way, second straight game that we had a two-goal performance by a Blackhawk, Anton Frondell in the last game, Ilya Mikheyev scoring his 17th and 18th goal of the season, now three away from matching his career high of 21 set with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he also, with that 18th goal of the season, picked up his 200th career NHL point. Picking up an assist on that was Sacha Boisvert, which is his first career NHL assist. So congratulations to Sacha Boisvert. Time now for tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Wyatt Kaiser that led the way for the Blackhawks at 23-18. And then right behind him, Connor Bedard, 23-01 for Chicago. Let's get to Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill and hear what he had to say following his team's performance from a 5-3 loss to St. Louis.
Tough game physically out there. How is Frank Nazar?
I think Frank's going to be all right. He had to get some dental work done, but I think he'll be all right. Mangiapane's probably day-to-day. I don't know what that means yet until it kind of comes back tomorrow, but I would say it's day-to-day right now.
Frank avoided worst-case scenario.
If, as far as we know right now, I know they did some imaging, but I think everything's good, I think. So. I don't know that answer. I would call it all day-to-day until I kind of know more tomorrow. There's probably a lot that goes into it, so we'll see. Yeah, he did it last game. And we weren't sure where he was at, and I would call him day-to-day as well. I can't tell you whether he'll be available for Monday or not.
What went into the decision to play Lafferty?
Lafs has played D with our team in practice a decent amount in the last 3-4 weeks. Lafs has been committed to this team all year. We played D for me a little bit in the World Championships, played D in college. So it's not like he's foreign to it, and he's actually knows our systems probably as good as anybody. You know, obviously we're getting into limited call-up opportunities, like who's left. Not that saying there's not capable players, but we just felt like Lass was as capable as anybody and had confidence in him. And, we're asking a lot out of him. I get that for sure, but we'd be asking a lot out of anybody that came up at this point, to be honest with you. It's just kind of where we're at with injuries and in that.
I'm sure you worry about the integrity of the game, but the fact that he had experience there.
We weren't throwing someone in that had never played defense. We're not throwing, like, he's played D, and he's actually, honestly, in practice at times he looks good on D, and I thought he did a fine job. Maybe there's one mistake there, and it's hard. Like, it's a hard thing, but other guys made mistakes too. So I thought he did a good job. Integrity of the game, to me, was not involved in it at all. He's legit. As I've seen him play D firsthand, so I had confidence he could do it.
What changed in the second period?
I don't know. We outchanced them 8-5. So you tell me. It's funny how the score dictates things. You know what I mean? Dictates our view of things. They scored, and we didn't. And we had some pretty good chances from some pretty good players. We just didn't score.
It seemed like there were a decent number of rush chances against. Was there?
Well, one was a breakaway out of a turnover in the O-zone, and then one was a... one was obviously like a kind of a missed squeeze, I would call it, they might have had one other one. So like, we'll go back and look at, I don't know, they had five chances. That's two of them, three with the goal in on the power play. So that's three of the five chances they had. So I can't sit here and say the ice was tilted or went bad one way or that the period was a whole lot different than the first period, to be honest with you. At the end of the day, they scored on their chances and we did not. Got to score on your chances when you get them, and you got to find a way to not have them go in your net.
Do you sense like a wave of fatigue with the
team? I would say there's probably a fragility to our team right now, more than even fatigue. I think some guys are starting to really, probably struggle a little bit. And so, and the issue with where we're at is we don't have guys to lean on to kind of pick you up a little bit when we're struggling. We're kind of all struggling through it together, so it's we're grinding through it, and these are hard lessons, man, but it's also this, life isn't easy, and again, if you learn from it, you never have the opportunity to learn from it if you don't go through it. So at some point you're going to go through it, and we got to go through it and find a way to kind of You know, as I said to the guys after the game, find a way to I guess, get your swagger back as individuals. You know, each guy's got to kind of get their swagger back.
Overcome that. You know, Nick, we saw a lot of us who have been here for a while saw that a lot in like 2019, 2021, when the Hawks would get a lead, and then, like you said, fragility would set in. Mm-hmm. One goal would turn into two goals, would turn into three goals, and that could be an issue next year.
It's an issue if you let it. You know, it's no different than what we talked about. And I think we did a good job of this at the beginning of the year. Like, we said the same thing. Like, a goal doesn't, like, they don't count from the year before. You know, the goal's a goal. That's it, you know. And so we talked about that mindset from the beginning of the year, and I thought we did a pretty good job with it, you know. So we'll address that when we need to. Right now, we just got to kind of refocus ourselves, and guys got to dig themselves up. And, again, I would argue these are the things you have to go through in order to grow. Like, you don't grow without any kind of failure. You just don't. And we're experiencing that right now. We've got to find a way to grow from it.
How much does it get more complicated when you've got, you know, a half dozen guys that might be day-to-day with two games left in the season, and, as you said, kind of some limited options to put that roster together while you're trying to dig out of fatigue and fragility?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it hard. Like, we're thin right now, for sure. We're thin. You know, when you're, you know, obviously we're at where we're at, so we trade some guys at the deadline, so that makes you thin. And then you know, we're young, super young to begin with, and then you get some injuries on top, that makes you thin. But that's, with all that said, we'll have 20 players dressed that are capable enough to go win a hockey game against Buffalo, and that's got to be our singular focus, is how to do that, you know. And I guess to your point earlier, like, the goals from tonight don't count for the next one. So when they score the first one, it can't be, oh my God, here it goes again. But that's there's a growth process in that. You know, there's part of this that you have to go through. These guys didn't go through what you're talking about. You guys lived it, they didn't. You know what I mean? They're going through it now, and they have to learn from it. And again, you just have to experience these things in order to grow. You have to. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to. You have to make the decision, we're going to grow from it.
How would you evaluate William McKay's season?
Great. Winning hockey player. Wins pucks. Really good on her penalty kill. Really good two-way player. Gets a lot of chances. He'd like to score more. We'd like him to score more on some of those. But overall, I would take Ilya Mikheyev on any team I've ever coached.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. I would also take Ilya Mikheyev on my team on any day of the week. Really good player, obviously a pending UFA at the end of the season, so we'll see if the Blackhawks are able to re-sign him. Time now to dive into our Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Let's go back to the OHL, where Merrick Van Acker and his Brantford Bulldogs are currently in the second round of the playoffs against North Bay, and Van Acker has shined throughout. Game one of the second round was on Wednesday. Brantford won that game, and Van Acker had three assists. And then game two was yesterday, and he found the back of the net twice as Brantford took a 2-0 series lead. Brantford has won all six of their games in the postseason to open up their playoffs. Van Acker has 11 points with 6 goals and 5 assists in 6 games. Also has 31 shots on goal in those 6... Or is it 20? I think it's 27 shots on goal, actually, for a 4.5 average. Last year in the playoffs, he had 11 points in 11 games, 5 goals and 6 assists. So he's already on a much better pace than last year, and has been a big reason why the Bulldogs have deep aspirations in the OHL playoffs. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back at the United Center on Monday, 7:30 start, 7 o'clock pregame show against the red-hot Buffalo Sabres, who clinched a playoff spot for the first time since the 2010-11 season. It was the longest playoff drought in the NHL at 16 years, and my goodness, have they have a Jekyll and Hyde season. The first 29 games of the year, they had just 11 wins and 26 points, which is 30th in the NHL, minus 17 goal differential over that stretch. And then in the last 51 games of the year, 38-9-4, 80 points over that stretch, first in the entire NHL, and a plus 56 goal differential over that stretch. Just an incredible turnaround for the Buffalo Sabres, and I imagine they're gearing up for hopefully what's going to be a deep run over in Buffalo. Well-deserved, finally making the playoffs, and so we'll see what the Buffalo Sabres will bring on Monday.